So during this Christmas season, we're actually looking at some events around the birth of Christ. And we notice as we study the Christmas story that there are three different times when God sent three angels, and three different times the angel said, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a portion of the Christmas story and the angel's message, "Do not be afraid." I believe this will help some people overcome the fear of what other people think about you. Now, why does this matter? And I promise you it does. Because obsessing about what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Let me say it again. The moment you obsess about what they think, it takes you away from thinking about what God thinks. And so if you find yourself worrying a little bit more, am I going to live up to their expectations? Or are they going to be proud of me? Am I going to fit in with them? Is what I post going to be the right thing? Am I going to develop the right brand? Or whatever it is, if you find yourself worrying about living up to expectations, I believe God's word is going to speak to you. Because all of us feel the pressure to say the right things, drive the right car, post the right image. And I'm praying that God's word will do a deep work in your heart today. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at a guy named Joseph. And Joseph had a very big decision to make. His decision was going to be between what was easy and what was right. Have you ever noticed how what's right is rarely what's easy, right? Like it's right not to gossip, but it's so much more fun to do it. You want to be in the know, right? It's right to resist the temptation, but it's easy to eat it, buy it, squeeze it, pop it, whatever you do to it. It's so much easier to give in. And so here we have Joseph, and he was engaged to be married to a young girl named Mary. And if you don't know, during this time in culture, engagement is a little bit different than today. For one thing, they didn't have the pressure to have the Instagram-worthy engagement where you actually proposed and then you do 45 minutes worth of photos faking the actual moment. And I know I'd do the same thing if I got engaged today, because that's the way culture works. If you find yourself like that, it was very, very different in the engagement process back then. Whenever someone would get engaged then, it was actually a binding agreement. The only way to get out of an engagement was actually to die or to divorce. So when we see that they're engaged, it was much more, it was kind of like you're married without just the official marriage. And so Matthew 1:18 kind of gives us the context of the story. And here's what scripture says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This is a nightmare if you're Joseph. You are saving yourself for marriage. You're in love with the virgin girl. You are engaged and kind of like married in our culture today. He didn't have sex with her. And she comes in and says, guess what? I'm pregnant. Immediately. What he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt is that's not his baby. What do you think he's thinking? You're pregnant. You broke my heart. Our relationship's over. Who did it? I'm going to kill him. I know Joseph was the father of Jesus in the sense of raising him, but I guarantee he thought, I'm going to kill him, because that's what you typically think. And Mary's like, no. Don't worry. This is actually good news. Like, an angel of the Lord appeared to me and spoke to me and said, you have found favor with me and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. It's amazing. An angel did it? Really? Now, I don't know where you guys are. That's just funny to me. Like, an angel says that? He's looking going, what are you? You're crazy. Don't give me that. He's like, I don't know. I saw that guy in the muscle shirt down at the well checking you out, right? I mean, the guy's a human. He's not going, oh, okay, great. The Holy Spirit did it. No, he's not doing that. So she says she's pregnant. And from a human perspective, he's got two options to believe about her right now. One, she's a liar. Or two, she's crazy. And neither are good foundations upon which to build your marriage. I don't have sex with you. You're pregnant. And you're telling me an angel did it. You are a big, fat, liar, liar, pants on fire, or you're wacko. Oh, the Holy Spirit did this to you. You're crazy. Neither option is good. And so let's just say, like, he's super Christian, okay? Which he's not. He's just a regular guy. But let's just say he's super Christian. And he does believe her. Okay, so the angel did this to you. What do you think he thinks about next? And the answer is, what are people going to think about me? Because if I go through with this and marry this woman that got pregnant before we're actually married, I'm going to be marked for life. I'm the guy that broke God's law. I'm in the position of power. I would have, like, maybe pressured her. No one's going to believe it anyway if we try to tell them about this Holy Ghost thing. It's going to be a scandal that follows him through his whole life. And then if he looks at it from her perspective, Mary, she's going to be an outcast. She's going to be rejected. And no one's going to speak to her. Because in that culture, that type of sin would put you out of business. He's in the same, in a similar way, in business. He's a carpenter. No one's going to do business with him because their parents won't bless the marriage. And then worse yet, their child is going to be mocked all day long, wherever he goes. So, what's going on in his mind? We don't know the details, but what we do know is he's out. You go figure that one out yourself, right? That's what he's going to do. He's bailing on the relationship. And we see him walking out. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, they're calling him the husband because they were engaged. And, you know, we just talked about that. Because he was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he's a good guy. He's trying to get out of this gracefully without making it worse for her. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, I don't want to make this worse for her. I'm certainly not going through with it. So I'll just try to get out of this. And maybe I can rebuild my life and divorce her quietly and move on with things. If I can just kind of get out of this, then maybe things will be okay. What are people going to think of me? So he's not going to shame her, and he thinks maybe I can start over. Maybe I can save my reputation and save whatever of hers is there. Maybe I can find someone new. Maybe somehow I can still have a life after this. And he's about to learn one of life's most important lessons. That pleasing God often means disappointing people. That doing what God wants is often very, very different than doing what people want. In fact, we'll see this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Scripture says this, but Joseph, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So, he's going to divorce her quietly. He's going to move on, try to rebuild, and an angel appears and says, Joseph, son of David, here it is. The angel says, do not be afraid. What does the King James angel say? The King James angel says, fear not. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, then she'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What do we know? For centuries, all of God's people were waiting on a Savior. And Joseph thinks maybe this could happen. But what is it going to cost me? What is the problem? How does this apply to you? Well, let's revisit an earlier thought and look at a new one. What do we know about the danger of living for the applause of people? And it's this. Obsessing about what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. But on the other hand, obsessing about what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you, right? When you start to put God first and live for an audience of one, suddenly pleasing God means more than the applause of men. If God, I want to seek you first. I want to put your kingdom first, your values first, your will first, God. It's not about what they want. It's not about what I want, but God, I want to surrender my will to your purpose. How do we do that? How do we, when it naturally is that we care about how many likes our post gets, when naturally it breaks our heart when the person that we like and we follow unfollows us? How dare they do that? They will answer to God. How do we do it when we care so much about people that we work with, people we go to school with. How do we live for God instead of for people? I'll give you a couple of quick thoughts today from God's Word. I'll set up the first principle by asking again, just for context, how did God use Mary and Joseph? What'd they do? Well, God used Mary. She gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his life as a ransom. Can you imagine, even though there was that outcome, the grief that Mary and Joseph would endure? People would not believe them. They would be scorned. They would be shamed. We know they had to run for their lives because ultimately Herod was trying to kill their baby. People are saying, Joseph is not really the father. And I did the math. They definitely got pregnant before their wedding date. There's no doubt about it. And Joseph and Mary's life illustrates the principle. Number one, if you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. How do you do God's will? You got to be ready to take some heat for doing God's will. If you're not ready to face some criticism for your obedience to God, you can never be in the middle of God's will. I like what Paul said in Galatians 1:10. Paul said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people. I'm not doing that. I'm way past that. But instead, I'm trying to win the approval of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Can we stop for a moment? If I'm a recovering people pleaser, and if pleasing you is my goal, I can't live faithfully for Jesus. So I want you to hear this. I want you to feel this. If you are trying to impress people, if you're trying to do only what they want, if you're trying to live for his approval or her approval or their approval, whoever they are, because they're there, they think this, they think that, who's they? I don't know, but they're they. If you're trying to live for the approval of people, you cannot be a servant of Christ. And so, where are you holding back? I mean, are you a servant of Jesus? If you are, you know. Do you go public with your faith? You know, like take a stand for Jesus at school? Maybe wear a Christian shirt, even though you know they're going to make fun of you. Refuse to be a part of some deal that is not God-honoring at work, even though it would make you a lot of money. Or you may not go to the party because you just don't want to be around that kind of stuff. Or you don't go to certain movies or watch that kind of show, and everybody's like, who do you think you are? You're holier now. You're better than. Or you don't listen to certain kind of music, even though it's the most popular music. Because what's in that music isn't good to put in your mind. And they'll make fun of you. And they'll laugh at you. If you're not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. And here's what I hope that you understand. Those who make the biggest difference often endure the greatest pain. Do you want to go be popular on social media and take the word out? You can get shot at a lot. And if you're going to do something special, you got to be ready to take the heat. If you want to make a big difference, you got to be ready to face the critic. If you're not ready to face criticism for your obedience to God, wherever you stand strong, you're not ready to be used by God. How do we live for God instead of people? That's the first thought. Second one is this. We need to remember that extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Just obeying God. The Savior of the world is born when a couple of teenagers say yes to God. And it's so hard to imagine how they could say yes without knowing any of the details. In fact, Mary was told that a sword's going to pierce her soul over this whole deal. The only detail she knew is that it was going to be horrible. And so often, whenever God is calling us, okay, I'm not going to live for people, but I'm going to live for God. I'm going to date in a way that honors God. I'm going to manage my finances in a way that honors God. I'm not going to take that job, even though I want that job, because that job's not honoring and I don't have another job. I'm going to trust you, God, and I want to know the details. Just tell me how this is going to work out. Mary and Joseph had to say yes without knowing the details. So often I think God would say, you can't handle the details. Psalm 119, 105 says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. If his word is a lamp unto our feet and his word shows us the next one or two steps, and we want to say, God, if I'm going to live for you, I want to see step number 10. And God says, you can't see step number 10 until you take 1 and 2. Then I'll show you 3 and 4. And then I'll show you 5 and 6. You wouldn't take 5 and 6 if you didn't see my faithfulness in 1 and 2. That some of the most special things that God will do will start to the smallest moment when you say, this is what man wants, but I'm going to do what God wants. Is there some area of your life that you're living to please people and not to honor God? It could be in your money, that you're literally spending all that you have to buy things that you don't need to impress people that you don't even like. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you're not giving the way you could, and you're not saving, and you're not preparing to be a blessing to people, because you're so wrapped up in pleasing the people of this world. Or maybe you're studying something in college, or you're in a career just because that's what mom or dad wanted. When you know God might have something different for you. Or maybe you're in a relationship and you're compromising to please someone that is not loving and honoring you or God. Some of you, you're hiding your faith. You're a Christian, but nobody at work knows it because you think they may not like you if you're a follower of Jesus. And I want to remind you that you have no idea what God might do through a single act of obedience. Sometimes the most amazing things happen when we don't do what people want, but we do one small act of obedience toward God. And you have no idea what God might set into motion when you live for Him instead of living for people. Have any of you ever noticed that sin can be fun for a while, but then it's not fun? It's like a sneeze. Sneeze feels good, and then there's snot everywhere, right? That's what sin's like. God's going to speak to someone here, and you're going to stop living for the approval of people. I don't know what it's going to be, but you're going to say, okay, what? You know, I'm not going to not put my favorite sport ahead of God. God's going to prompt someone here to be bolder in school. When you walk in, a light walks in, and everyone knows it. Maybe be bolder at your office. God's going to prompt someone to stop playing around financially and tithe to get out of debt. God may speak to someone about considering fostering, or God may prompt you to ask her out. We need to remember that extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Joseph could have done what a lot of people do and said, no, God, that's too much. The personal cost of obeying you is way too much. And he would have said no if he was worried about what people thought. But he valued the heart of God above the opinions of people. In fact, in Matthew 1:24, here's what happens. When Joseph woke up, what did he do? He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. When he woke up, he did what the Lord had commanded him. And why does this matter? Because obsessing about what people think is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. But when you do what God says and you obey His promptings, obsessing about what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget about what people think about you. So I'm a recovering people pleaser, and sometimes I'll look at the comments and want people to like me. But what I understand is that when you follow Jesus, you will never win the applause of everybody. And here's what's interesting. When you think about it, you can't please everyone. There's no way. You please one group, the next one hates you. You get it right this time, you get it in style today, and you look at that picture in 5 years from now, and you look stupid. Have you noticed that? You work so hard to be so cool, then you look so dumb. You can't win the approval of everybody, but you can win the approval of God. You can please Him, and how do you please God? It's impossible to please Him without faith. And so when He speaks to you, when He leads you, when He prompts you, when He moves on you, don't think about what they think, but have faith to do what He calls you to do, to be who He calls you to be, and to live the life that He calls you to live. Because you can't please everyone. But through the grace of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and living by His Word, you can please God. And imagine the best news ever. Standing before God one day and hearing Him say, "Well done. Well done. You lived a life, brought me glory. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let us pray. So, Father, we ask You today that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would speak a word of faith, that, God, You'd help us to heal from the need to please people, and, God, instead to desire to please You. Father, bring Your word to life. Holy Spirit, do a work on our hearts that we could know You're speaking to us. God, set us free from living for the applause of people. And God, help us to live for Your heart, Your will, Your plan, and Your purpose. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.